We are recording now, I do believe. Let me make sure. Okay, this is the afternoon review for the final in spring 2012, class number nursing 2050, MedSurg 1. All right, please go back to the very, very beginning of class when you were just new little nurses, right? Now you're experienced. We talked about what nursing was. Don't miss the easy questions on the final. We talked about the holistic view of nursing. We talked a little bit about evidence-based practice. We talked about, remember, you've worked with the nursing process all semester. Please be able to apply that. There's a question, too, about that. We brought forth the concept of health and illness in adults, which is what this course is all about. I think I have a question regarding when someone takes on the illness role in the hospital. How does that manifest? Illness role? What is that? So go back to those original concepts, some that you brought forward from fundamentals. Okay? Because there are a couple questions on those. Don't miss those easy questions. So remember to just look at that material. It's been a long time, right? Just on illness and health in general. Okay? And what is health? What is disease? What is our role? What is disease? What is our role? What are things like risk factors, preventive risk factors? Those are all just concepts I want you to bring forward. The final is not full of little details. Like, there are some little details on this exam today. You're not going to see that on the final. You're going to see large concepts. So the idea of going back and studying all this minutia would not be my recommendation. Hopefully you've been growing through the semester and you're very comfortable with these larger concepts like of health that we've been dealing with. My goal with the final is to examine your ability to show me that you've grasped these large concepts and that you can apply them to a clinical setting and come out with the best answer, what an experienced nurse would do or say in that situation. I generally am fitting together information from the class, so it's, you saw today that some of the concepts that, like infection, was a question that had to do with infection. You had to know something about infection left over from the infection lecture that was like the second day of class, right? You do the same thing with the final. I'm going to put knowledge together, like on fracture and infection, okay? Or when we talked about, there was one of the andropods, the guy had an infection, all right? And how did that exhibit? So we're bringing through concepts I expect you to apply. You're not going to gain the ability to do that by cramming over the next week. These are, I hope you've grown into these concepts, grown into being able to use them. So my suggestion would, for you is not, I would review the lecture, sure, go over them. But I would also work on NCLEX test-taking skills because, you know, it's always that bugaboo, the second best answer, right? So make sure you know that. Talk, get in study groups, talk. Say, okay, you talk all about infection or you talk all about the upper respiratory system and just talk, okay? See if you know it well enough to explain how a cold goes into pneumonia, or different types of pneumonia, or why we have a progression of diet post-surgery. Okay? Because the little details are not going to be there. The global concepts are. And these are concepts that are going to carry you through your practice. And you're really not going to get there by cramming right now. Because that works for little details, right, and facts. That's not what I'm going to be testing on. I try real hard to at least get two, hopefully three different major concepts together in a question. So the questions are hard. They got to think. I'm going to give you the full 2 hours. Right? But I'm asking you to put together things. So just memorizing facts at this point is not going to do any good. It's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for your global knowledge that you're going to take forward. Okay? All right, going on. I don't ask anything about IVs. So you're set on there. Surgery. Again, what's the most important thing in the perioperative unit? I'm sorry, in the PACU. Breathing, right? So if I asked if it's pain or breathing, you're going to say breathing, because one of our global concepts in this course is the most important thing is keeping the patient breathing, right? If they're not breathing, they don't have what? What happens? If they're not breathing, what happens? Carry that thought forward. Right. Not enough oxygen going to the... Let's start with cells, okay? Yeah, in the hemoglobin, right? So, I mean, you could talk for 15 minutes to your classmates about that, couldn't you? Okay, what happens? Right, pull that through. Okay, so that's why, obviously, our concern in the... See how it relates? We're taking all that stuff that we learned about hematology and the circulatory system right back, and we're applying it now to someone having surgery and they're in the PACU. Right, so that's how everything intertwines. If you feel you're a little rusty on some of your basic patho and anatomy, go back and review it. I'm working on my anatomy coloring book right now. I did the shoulders yesterday in the chat. Oh my goodness. I forgot all those muscles. Okay. Just so that you can understand what we're talking about. I'm not going to ask you the details of how many lats are there. You know, I'm not going to do that. Or the three that intersect with the ribs. I'm not going to ask you that kind of thing. Of course not. You know, but just general concepts. And if you need some background in patho or anatomy or physio, do that if that's where you found you've been weak. Substance abuse. Do read over that handout from the state of California. You have that, right? I do believe you do. I have a question on there about substance abuse in nursing and what happens with a nurse that has that. Nothing about genetics. Infection is a thread throughout the entire course. That's why I introduced it early. There was a question today on this. So make sure you feel real comfortable with infection. Know what inflammation is. How does that differ from infection? What's an antigen? What's an antibody? How does that work in the body? Really important. And what's the whole game of treatment for any kind of an infection? Is what? What are we trying to do? It's how fast can that antigen multiply versus how fast can we make, can our bodies mass whatever it takes to the antibodies to destroy that antigen, right? And then why do we have antibiotics or antifungals or antivirals? What are they doing? They're coming in and helping the body when it doesn't have the immune system to fight it. Or when the bug is so virulent that it's impossible to do so. It's a nice basic concept. And that's, you see that every single day in practice. That's our concern. Why are we giving antibiotics? Why are we? So immune suppression, why is somebody immunosuppressed? Is it a genetic problem? Okay, if something is genetic, are we going to change it? Never. Never, never. We're going to treat the symptoms. Okay. What's the difference between genetic and congenital? I know there's a question on that. You've got to know the difference between genetic and... I don't remember the question, but I know you've got to have that piece of knowledge. There's going to be a lot of things like that that I throw in. I'll use congenital, and if you think that's genetic, you're going to get it wrong. It's a basic concept. Congenital is something that you're born with, not necessarily in your genes. Like congenital hip dysplasia, babies born with their hip out of place. That's not a genetic thing. That was just how they formed in the womb. There's nothing in the genes that makes that hip be out of place. Okay, what else? Cancer. What's metastasis? What do we use to treat cancer and why? We focus cancer treatment on what? What's the one thing that cancer cells have that are very different than others? They grow rapidly, right? So knowing that, take that bit of information. So you know that piece of information. Cancer cells grow rapidly. Great. Now, that's fine that you know that information, but be able to apply it. So when I ask you, for instance, what do all cancer treatments or what does chemotherapy, what do chemotherapy drugs have in common? Is what? They target fast-growing cells. So you take that bit of information and expect you to be able to grow it and apply it and move it forward. So having the key concepts, and if you can think and have a clear head and you've developed that, these critical thinking skills that I've truly hoped you have in this course, you're going to get all the answers right. And you're also going to take that same skill and use it at bedside for the rest of your life, that ability to logically work through a problem. We know cancer cells divide rapidly, therefore chemotherapy drugs must focus on rapidly growing cells. All right, then why do people's hair fall out? Right, because hair grows really fast. Why do people have esophagus problems and easily develop thrush when they're under cancer treatment? Yeah, because they're immune suppressed, but why else? Following this trend of quickly dividing cells, right? Skin cells are and hair are the fastest growing. The esophagus is just skin cells turned inside out, right? The GI tract is the same as cells on the outside, it's just on the inside. Okay? All right? So take this knowledge that you came to the class with, apply it, and move it forward. Right? And add it to what you've already learned. Let's see, you know the difference between chemotherapy and radiation, right? Upper GI disorders. Why are so many of our patients on, lower GI disorders, on GERD? What's GERD? And why are they on antacids? Why does the fact of being in the hospital make you susceptible to gastroesophageal reflux disease? What's a hiatal hernia? I think there's a question about a hiatal hernia in this exam. How about bowel disorders? Some of them are autoimmune, we talked about. Right? We talked a little bit about gastritis, food poisoning. Bowel disorders, we talked about, we've learned about colostomies, ileostomies, and basically all bowel care in clinical, right? You've had hopefully the chance to experience all that. So take that knowledge and apply it to a patient. Are we going to be, you come on the shift, you see the nurse before you has given some Dukicet, the patient hasn't had a bowel movement in 3 days, are you going to follow with milk of magnesia on your shift? She gave it at 2, it's now 3:30. I don't think so. It takes some time to work, right? Just apply your knowledge. You're doing great. Something else you might want to review is, or make sure that you're on track with, is all the verbiage. I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm not going to answer any questions about vocabulary. You've done an amazing job. When in clinical, when you guys present your patients, I'm blown away with the poise and professionalism and your use of healthcare terminology. It's awesome. So on the whole, you're wonderful. Of course, I haven't worked with all of you, so I don't know. But you got to have the vocab down. And I believe most of you do. Okay? Just anything that I've worked on in class, I'll expect knowledge in those areas of the vocabulary. I'm not going to pull anything weird out for you. There will be nothing new on this exam. Nothing at all. Okay? The only new thing is putting it together. That's what I think a final's all about. Taking the knowledge that you've gained, putting it all together, not asking a little tiny detailed question. So please don't think you're studying hard for the final by reading everything. If there's a concept you want clarity, absolutely go to your text. Okay? But don't spend hours reading the chapters. That's lazy studying and will do you no good. Talk to your cat. Tell them all about how the heart and the lungs interact together. Talk to your cat about, cats are bad, they move. Your sleeping dog is good, right? Your mother, who will have the patient sit there and listen to you. Okay. Teach it. Talk to each other. You may want to assign a week to each of your study mates. You review this week. Give us an overview. That's a really nice way to do it. So everyone is an expert in 1 week, and then they all get together. It's a nice way to review and discuss it. Remember that adult women learn best through talking. Since the vast majority of you are adult women, talking is a good way to learn. Urinary tract infections. How does somebody get a kidney infection? Remember, urinary tract is similar to the respiratory tract, except from urinary tract, infections go up. Respiratory, they go down, right? Okay, good thing you don't have a UTI and an upper respiratory at the same time. You're going to be in the middle. No. Okay, got it? Just a different tracks, and the infection just goes. Think logically. Just progresses, right? You're going to end up with pneumonia or a kidney infection, right? Which would manifest itself how? And sometimes there are subclinical UTIs. They end up with lung pain. Okay. Diabetes. What are we doing with diabetes? We're balancing two things in the blood. Right? You know what those are, don't you? Okay. So you know that it's sugar and insulin. Fine. That's not enough. Be able to apply that. When are we going to use what insulin? Okay. What's the ramifications of not giving insulin? How does exercise work into that? So yes, that's your core concept, and that's great. You can memorize it. Hopefully you already know it. How are you going to move it forward? To get a question right on that. You should really know it. Reason for reason. Yeah, application. Okay. Hypoglycemia. When do we see it? Hypoglycemia. When might we see it in the hospital? What would be the most common reason that we would see hypoglycemia in a hospital setting? An overdose of insulin. That may be the appropriate insulin for where the patient is right now, but then they didn't eat their dinner. Or they vomited. Or they're all of a sudden nauseous. Okay. And how are you going to respond to that? And at what point? You're going to respond. And what are you going to look for in your patient? Right? That? Need some candy. That's right. Very good. So whatever it takes like that, okay? Trigger your brain, yeah. Organ family needs some candy. So if you remember that, we've got somebody that's hypoglycemic, you're going to know what to do, right? Okay? Or you're going to get the question right. If one of the offerings of given orange juice. Okay. Cardiovascular and lymphatic system. So we have vessels moving through our entire bodies. Two kinds, don't we? One moves blood and one moves lymph. What's the purpose of each? They have different jobs. We have lymph nodes, right? And they're like mass areas where the white blood cells mass. Okay? Go and find infection. So if someone has an infection in the lower leg, or cellulitis, you may see large lymph nodes in the groin. Right? Okay. Now the vascular system is where the blood flows. Different vascular system. It's extremely complex. We talked a lot about thrombi, right? Blood clots throughout the semester. And you know what to do to prevent them in the hospital setting, correct? You know how to assess for them. You know what three things need to be present in order to have a blood clot. Remember Virchow-Skatrina. I don't think I specifically use those words, but you need to know the concepts. Of which I was trying to okay. Know about atherosclerosis. You know about how the body compensates, right? So if there's a lot of plaque, what's going to happen to the blood pressure? Mm-hmm. It's going to go up, right? What's going to happen to the heart rate? It's going to elevate too, isn't it? Because you've taken the vessel and you've made the lumen smaller. Think about it. And we're going to do. We do bypass grass. I know some of you have been involved in those, seen those. It's very exciting. Yeah. And you got to see some plaque too, right? And remember what happens when the vessel becomes occluded. And you're amazed because at 90-something percent occlusion, the person is still walking around and doing fine, right? And there's a reason for that. Remember what that is? Collateral circulation. Another compensatory mechanism. The body is full of them. So that's the blood system within the body. In the heart, there are valves, correct? And sometimes these valves aren't functioning well. Then what do you hear in your assessment? You hear a swish, right? Because you hear that regurgitation going backwards. Also with your assessment, there's one question that people generally get wrong, so let me give you a heads up. In your assessment class, how were you taught in the order of using your stethoscope and palpitations and all? What order were you taught? You palpate last, right? Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Except for the Dhamma, then what do you do? Mm-hmm. Rasko take first, and then you palpate. That's what I mean. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm speaking about the abdomen, so you're going to palpate last, right, in the abdomen. Okay, let's say you're assessing abdomen, you've auscultated, you've done all this, now you've palpated, and you feel something hard. What's going to be your next? It's right here. It's right where the aorta goes down, the abdominal. What are you going to do? You feel something. It's like a mass. What would be your next thing? It's obviously abnormal. It's your next action before you call the physician. What do you think it might be? It feels to me, it feels like a mass right here. You're going to go back and auscultate because you're going to think possibly it's an aneurysm, right? Or a ruptured aneurysm. If you're feeling a mass, remember we talked about the vessels and how what aneurysms are? We talked about they're being very common in the abdominal aorta, right? And that you're going to feel the mass. And the problem, and why would you go back and auscultate? Because what would you hear if you could, if there was a huge immediate problem? What would you hear? Swishing, yeah, because you're going to hear what? A rupture, that aneurysm is rupture, you're going to hear the blood going out. It's a bleed. Okay. So in that case, you would auscultate, percuss, you'd go back and auscultate again. So this is the kind of thing where that information that you learned, right, you always percuss the abdomen last, well, in this case, you'd go back and you'd auscultate again, wouldn't you? So take that information you've learned, and it's no longer black and white, is it? You're going to go back and auscultate again, which is contrary to what you learned in assessment. But now you know more. You know that it could be an aneurysm and it's going to take further investigation. You know that you need to hear it. Because if it's ruptured, you want to hear that swish. So that's the kind of thinking I want. Take what you've learned. Occasionally you're going to have to tweak it. Aren't you? Okay. Yeah, that makes all sorts of sense. Because now you know about aneurysms. And you know that that's a common place. And you know they can rupture. And you know that they can be quickly lethal. And that you would have to take some immediate action. But you would, and you know that you would hear the blood coming up. So you'd auscultate in again. That's another example of putting it all together. Okay, so the heart, right? We talked about the vessels in the heart. We talked about the valves. Valves can become infected, right? A common reason for infection, a common reason for heart valve replacement is what? Right, an old disease, an old rheumatic fever. And the causative agent is? So the heart is a muscle. Needs to be have a blood supply of its own, as well as having these large vessels that go through it. And the muscles of the heart pump, right? They pump the blood around the body. So if someone has some ischemia in the heart and part of the heart is dead, there's some ischemic tissue. Is it still going to be able to pump? Likely not. So after an MI, we often get some weird rhythms. We get weird rhythms in other, for other reasons too. People commonly have AFib as they age. So what's going on there? What's happening? Electrical, yeah, stimulation to the heart is not working at an optimum way. So what's the heart going to do about that? If it's not pumping adequately, what's happening? It may work harder, yeah, in order to compensate for that. So you may have a very elevated blood pressure. Heart rate. The blood pressure may be fine, because it's had to, it wants to maintain. Remember, the body's always going to compensate. Okay? So you may have a fine blood pressure and an increased heart rate. What's going on? Probably something with the mechanism of the beat. So we're going to give meds for this, obviously. And ultimately, what would we do? We could do a pacemaker, too. Or a defibrillator, right, to stop them and get it going again. Exactly. If we get to that point. Because a heart that's going like this and going crazy, it can only do that for so long. But it may give up, and we might want to shock it again. Or sometimes we do cardioversion and shock it to make it go back into its rhythm. Remember? And then what's going on with the respiratory system and the heart? Why are they so closely related? Because blood carries oxygen. Exactly. That's an extremely important concept. So remember, we talked a little bit about hematology. So the job of the red blood cells is to carry oxygen. Right? There are some red blood cells that can't carry oxygen, aren't there? And there are some times when the body is deficient in red blood cells that can carry oxygen. And then what is the state? Anemia. That may be caused by not enough blood, right? Or not enough red blood cells. Or red blood cells that can't carry oxygen. You can have lots of reasons and lots of different kinds of anemia. Often we don't know the reason for anemia. It's primary anemia. But we know what we need to build red blood cells, right? We need iron, we need protein. So if someone's recovering from surgery, what kind of a diet would you suggest? High iron, high protein, okay. We want to build cells. We want to build those red blood cells back up, because we're assuming that there was some blood loss in surgery, right? Okay. Got it. We hope to upload this afternoon. Okay? So you got the connection. So blood cells carry oxygen. They go around the body. They need to carry the oxygen all the way around. What do? There's a direct connection with the lungs, correct? What do they do with the lungs? They have the alveoli, but they get oxygen, right? And then they drop it off. Where? Right, capillary beds in the tissues. And they pick up the carbon dioxide, they bring it back. Okay, that's a nice basic concept. All right? Be able to grow it. Okay? Grow it. So what happens when someone has anemia or cellulitis? Or what happens when somebody just wrote a great paper about seeing an amputation from a lack of circulation in a diabetic person that lost her leg. See, it's all going to relate back. Because the vascular system was so depressed that the oxygen couldn't get to the tissues, so the tissues died. See how we're all doing. The heart might have been fine, but we have a problem with the vascular system. Okay? Sounding all right? Okay. Moving on. Talked about some cardiac disorders. Risk factors. Know about the risk factors for cardiac disorders. Remember, the heart can get infected too. About vascular, upper respiratory, cold, goes into bronchitis, eventually pneumonia, laryngitis sometimes as they pass through. In fact, pneumonia is real bad. A lot of deaths are attributed to pneumonia. Is that because pneumonia actually is that? Is that the main thing? Is pneumonia primary? It's commonly a secondary illness, right? So that leads you back to your knowledge of infection, doesn't it? Because people often get nosocomial pneumonia, don't they? Or their immune system is suppressed, and they get pneumonia. Often pneumonia has a reason behind it. Or they aspirate. Talked about gas exchange, ventilation disorders. We know about skeletal muscular stuff, because you did it today. And neuro. I wouldn't ask anything about reproduction. About men, we did that. That was just a little. You're going to learn a lot about women in maternal child. Right, of course, with Dr. Beebe. But I want you to feel comfortable. More and more men are asking, well, what do you think about this ED drug versus the other? But I want you to feel more comfortable. Men are much more out there in my generation about talking about all these problems that their fathers never would have mentioned. And I don't think they think anything of talking to you about it. So I want you to be just, that was just to get you kind of exposed to the subject matter. So you'd be a little more comfortable with the whole concept of andropause and what men also are going through as they age. Okay, what else? Any questions? Does that sound good? Yeah, the whole 2 hours, 50 questions? Or as close to 2 hours as we can get. Yeah. They'll be there. But you know it. Did you just sat. On Tuesday, we're going to have a review, right? It's not a review. It's just your test will be out, and I'll be available for questions. And that's in that little piano room in Angelica. Okay. What else? Email me questions as you and your classmates come across them. Once somebody emailed me a whole bunch of them last night. I answered about 3 or 4 questions just last night. Just little intricacies of knowledge, because I find that students, sometimes they get off on these weird tracks. You know, if I don't pull you back, you'll have these horrible concepts that they'll make you get a question wrong. Oh, I thought it was like this. Oh, you're so close. No, it's actually like this. So if anything's looking fuzzy to you, drop me an email. And just say, no, you're way off. Or, yeah, you're right. That actually is. But let me tweak it a little more or grow it. All right? So I'm here for you. Email me. I want you to be successful. Anything else? What else? Anything more we can do as a class to help you? Remember your clinical experiences. They're important. Bring them forward when you're studying for the final and when you're taking the final. Okay? Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I'm going to just turn this into an iTunes document. And then I'll be right over. If I don't do it right now, I'll screw it up for sure. Okay, GarageBand.